When the storms all lie for raiding,
right.
Stand by me when the storms all lie. The best I can. I want God to stand by me. When I've done, oh, I've done all I can, y'all. Oh, stand by me. Oh, when I've done, oh, I've done all I can. Lord,
good evening. You're listening to Evening Music on WNYC 93.9 and WNYC.org. I'm Terrence McKnight. I'm glad you're here with me. You know that music that we began with is what I heard growing up when I would go visit my grandparents in Mississippi. And that's when I first realized the power of music. I'd see folks falling out in church listening to that kind of singing. Talking about spirituality in music, this composer that we're listening to now, Beethoven, really knew spirituality. And when he started to realize that he was going deaf, he almost gave up on life and on music, and he really said that next to God, the highest thing was his art, and it's what really kept him alive. And when he got around to writing this music that we're listening to now, he was completely deaf. This is pretty late Beethoven. So I'm going to be here with you until 11 o'clock. This is my first day here at WNYC on air. And again, I'm glad that you could be here with me. It's a two-way conversation, and we'll be talking about what's going on around the city in terms of music. We'll be listening to great music, and I want to hear from you. You can go to our website, which is WNYC.org, and there's a music page. Talk to Terrence. I want you to talk to me and tell me, you know, what pieces are important to you, what music moved you when you first fell in love with music. I want to know what you were listening to. You get the idea. This is a set of variations by Beethoven, and perhaps you're saying, Terrence, now are you going to be talking over the music? Well, no, I'm not going to talk over the music much, but, you know, if there's anybody that we can talk over, it would be Beethoven. You know, he's that composer who always broke the rules, so perhaps this is karma, Mr. Beethoven. Next, we're going to music by David Lang. It's called Sweet Air. And then we've got some Prokofiev and Dvorak. Art Tatum coming up in this hour of evening music. Thank you. It's a composition by David Lang. It's by David Lang. It's called Child, and the movement is called Sweet Air. We heard Sentieri Selvaggi. That's the band. And I'm Terrence McKnight here with you on WNYC 93.9 FM and WNYC.org. It's my first day here at WNYC, and it feels, remember the first day of school or the first day on a new job, you're a little bit anxious and you perhaps buy a new shirt or a new pair of shoes just for your first day. Well, we've got some great music for you, and I'm glad that you're inviting me into your home or into your car to share some music with you. And I want to share something with you now. This is a piece by Sergei Prokofiev. I learned this when I was in graduate school, and it almost killed me. Well, it's a little dramatic. That's beautiful, but that's not the piece I learned in graduate school. Let me get to that one. I'll have to bring you that one again. Hold on. Okay, here it is. This is Prokofiev's Suggestion Diabolique. Check this out. Alexis Weissenberg playing music by Sergei Prokofiev, the Suggestion Diabolique. This is WNYC, and we're supported by Boston University's Insight Arts Festival, featuring the Stop Art Previn play, Every Good Boy Deserves Favor, Friday, March 14th at Town Hall. Tickets at Ticketmaster.com. We're also supported by BBC World News America, a new hour-long U.S. television newscast providing the depth, perspective, and context needed to understand today's complex global issues. Weeknights at 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern on BBC America. You know, you always see pictures of Sergei Prokofiev or and Antonin Dvorak and composers looking very serious. Well, Dvorak also had a humorous side. Here's a humoresque by Antonin Dvorak. Isaac Stern and the Columbia Symphony Orchestra, conducted by Milton Katims, performing the Humoresque in G-flat, Opus 101, Spring Song by Antonin Dvorak. You know, Art Tatum took a crack at that himself, and Stephen Mayer transcribed it. This is Stephen Mayer playing the same tune, music by Antonin Dvorak. Stephen Mayer at the piano playing music by Art Tatum. Well, transcription by Art Tatum, music by Antonin Dvorak, his Humoresque. This is Evening Music on 93.9 and WNYC.org. I'm Terrence McKnight, and coming up, our culture critic, John Rockwell, discusses the history of tensions and collaborations between classical ballet and modern dance. That's coming up right here on 93.9 WNYC.
This is All Things Considered from NPR News.
From the governor's office on down to the local firehouse, Californians are looking at what went right and what went wrong.
Gingrich says he grew up a conservationist and there was nothing inconsistent about being green and being Republican.
The Clinton Global Initiative is about selling ideas to people with the means and power to implement them.
Get the day's top stories with insight and analysis. I'm Amy Eddings. Join me for All Things Considered, weekdays at 4
Spring,
on WNYC.
Spring, fast upon us, is the height of the ballet season in New York. Eager audiences fill City Center and the New York State Theater and the Metropolitan Opera, and critics fall all over themselves to immerse themselves in balletic minutiae. We have already had the just-concluded New York City Ballet winter season and Diana Vishneva's striking, if erratic, Beauty in Motion program at City Center. Still to come are the Kirov Ballet for 3 weeks at City Center in April, the City Ballet spring season with a big 100th birthday Jerome Robbins tribute, and American Ballet Theater's 8-week stand at the Met. I myself happily take part in the spectator sport aspect of ballet's appreciation. And yet ballet is not all there is to dance, and in recent years it has seized a disproportionate amount of the attention paid to the art. There is a long history to this tension between ballet and other kinds of dance. From the earliest years of the last century, dancers rebelled against what they saw as the strictures and artificialities of ballet and struck out in often bold, sometimes silly, new directions. Ballet reasserted itself through George Balanchine starting in the 1950s. He had the proper St. Petersburg lineage, but he made ballet as an equal partner with modernist achievements in the other arts, and he won loyal, not to say fanatical, critical champions. His legacy can still give revelatory pleasure, but it also serves as a damper to the open appreciation of the new. Modern dance, beyond the big companies like Ailey, Merce Cunningham, and Paul Taylor, persists in generally impoverished form in Lower Manhattan and Brooklyn and in the dance departments of liberal arts colleges around the country. But the mainstream critics tend to ignore such sometimes amateurish friskiness despite their occasional dainty forays downtown. Me, when I began my 2-year stint as chief dance critic of the New York Times in January 2005, I led off with a manifesto happily hailing what seemed to me the self-evident fusion of ballet and modern, how dance audiences could enjoy both and how innovative choreographers from modern dance were enlivening the ballet repertory. This triggered a storm of protest on the ballet websites. For them, modern dance choreographers simply degraded the purity of ballet. Ballet was of the air. Modern dance was of the earth, or worse. 3 years later, I still think dance is best perceived whole, that ballet's past is wonderful, but its future is bright too, and that that future will probably be infused with ideas from the modern side of the divide. If you want to take violent issue with what I have just argued, or to chime in with enthusiasm, you can post comments on the Rockwell Matters page at wnyc.org/music, where you can also rehear this broadcast, read a transcript, or subscribe to my podcast. This has been John Rockwell for Rockwell Matters.
John Rockwell, anxious to talk about the history and tensions and collaborations between classical ballet and modern dance here on 93.9. The Kirov Ballet and Orchestra will be performing the old and the new during its 3-week season at City Center starting April 1st. American Ballet Theater's spring season at the Met begins in late May. Coming up, we've got music by Johannes Brahms. It's a piece that he composed for not Clara Schumann, but for their daughter, for Robert and Clara's daughter, Julie. Julie wanted to get married. Brahms wanted to write some music for her. He did it. And we'll hear that music coming up right here during this hour of evening music. Marcus Roberts says everything's cool. Here he is. Marcus Roberts playing his own composition, Everything's Cool, here on 93.9 FM, WNYC New York, and WNYC.org. WNYC is supported by Axiom, a modern alternative to the traditional law firm. Axiom is helping to change the way attorneys work and offering corporations a new way to work with them. More information at axiomlegal.com. We're also supported by Purchase College School of Liberal Arts and Sciences, offering over 30 traditional and distinct majors in the natural and social sciences and humanities, including new media, environmental studies, biochemistry, and more. Purchase.edu. Coming up, we've got this music by Johannes Brahms, but let's get one more from Marcus Roberts. This is something that Scott Joplin wrote, perhaps his most popular composition. Check out what Marcus does to it. Marcus Roberts playing Scott Joplin's Entertainer here on 93.9 WNYC. I'm Terrence McKnight. Thank you so much for inviting me into your car or into your living room, and spending some time with me this evening, talking about the power of music and sharing that expression of love and joy and pain, all those human emotions that music helps us to deal with. And I want to get to know you. I'm new in town, and you can read about me and about this show, what we're doing with the show. I'm joining a great cast of hosts here at WNYC, and I'm honored to do so.
And I'm glad to be with you as well. And you can go to our website at WNYC.org, read up on me and the program, and share your comments. I want to get to know you, and maybe you can recommend some places for me to check out, some music to listen to. And while you're doing that, I want you to listen to this. This is Johannes Brahms. It's music that he wrote for Julie Schumann. Julie was the daughter of Robert and Clara Schumann, and Brahms and this family, they were very close. And after Robert Schumann passed away, Brahms did a lot to help Clara with the children that she and Robert had. You know, he kept the children when she would go on tour, and he was a great comrade. And when Julie wanted to get married after Robert died, Julie was the daughter, Brahms wrote this music for her. Now, Brahms had an interesting relationship with Clara, a very passionate relationship. Now, I'm not suggesting it was a physical relationship, but they were very close. And he developed an interest in this daughter, Julie. Check out this music that he wrote for her wedding. The poetry is by Goethe.
Yosef Debenhauer, playing music by Clara Schumann, her Prelude in F. And before that, we heard Stephanie Blythe singing along with A Se Voci, John Nelson conducting the Ensemble Orchestra of Paris, the Alto Rhapsody by Johannes Brahms, his Opus 53. You're listening to Evening Music here on 93.9 WNYC New York and WNYC.org. I'm Terrence McKnight. Coming up, Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac. You know that music Johannes Brahms composed for Julie? Well, maybe you want somebody to write some wedding music for you or for somebody that you know or love. We've got some great local composers here in New York City, and you can always commission them. And you'll be hearing great composers, living composers here during Evening Music. I'm Terrence McKnight here with you Monday through Thursday from 7 till 11 o'clock. So we've got a few more hours to go. I'm glad that you're spending some time with us here on WNYC. Coming up after I'm done here, John Schaefer will be here with New Sound, so I hope you'll stay with us for that. Garrison Keillor is up next. The time is just about 8 o'clock, and it's a beautiful day here in New York City.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Monday, the 3rd of March, 2008. It was on this day in 1875 that Georges Bizet's opera Carmen was given on stage for the first time at the Opéra Comique in Paris. In 1872, he had written to a friend, "I am asked to write three acts for the Opéra Comique. It will be bright, but of a brightness that allows style." At the premiere of Carmen, the audience was shocked by the character of Carmen, a gypsy girl, and also her lover, Don José. The opera set in Spain among gypsies and bullfighters. One thing that shocked the audience was that the heroine smokes on stage. The debut was not a failure on this night in 1875, although some history books have portrayed it that way. The opera ran for 37 performances, and it came back the next season. Georges Bizet died of a heart attack just 3 months after the opera's debut, worn out from rehearsals. And his opera is still the most popular French opera of the 19th century. It's the birthday of the man who invented the telephone, Alexander Graham Bell, born in Edinburgh in 1847. The invention actually an accident that came about when Bell was trying to perfect the telegraph. Alexander Graham Bell, who said, "When one door closes, another door opens. But we so often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the ones which open for us." It's the birthday of the poet and novelist Edward Thomas, born in London, 1878. He was a close friend of Robert Frost's when Frost lived in England in 1913. And Frost advised Thomas to start writing poetry. He wrote mostly about nature and about solitude. Edward Thomas enlisted in the war in 1915, was sent to fight in 1917, and was killed in the first hour of the Battle of Arras. It's the birthday of the British philosopher and novelist William Godwin, born in Cambridgeshire in 1756, whose most important book was Political Justice in 1793, but who's best known to us as the father of Mary Godwin, who would go on to marry and become Mary Shelley and write Frankenstein. Here's a poem for today by Christopher Reed entitled "What the Uneducated Old Woman Told Me." That she was glad to sit down, that her legs hurt in spite of the medicine, that times were bad, that her husband had died nearly 30 years before, that the war had changed things, that the new priest looked like a schoolboy and you could barely hear him in church, that pigs were better company, generally speaking, than goats, that no one could fool her, that both her sons had married stupid women, that her son-in-law drove a truck, that he had once delivered something to the president's palace, that his flat was on the 7th floor, and that it made her dizzy to think of it, that he brought her presents from the black market, that an alarm clock was of no use to her, that she could no longer walk to town and back, that all her friends were dead, that I should be careful about mushrooms, that ghosts never came to a house where a sprig of rosemary had been hung, that the cinema was a ridiculous invention, that the modern dances were no good, that her husband had had a beautiful singing voice until drink ruined it, that the war had changed things, that she had seen on a map where the war had been fought, that Hitler was definitely in hell right now, that children were cheekier than ever, that it was going to be a cold winter you could tell from the height of the birds' nests, that even salt was expensive these days, that she had had a long life and was not afraid of dying, that times were very bad. A poem by Christopher Reed, What the Uneducated Old Woman Told Me, from his collection Katharina Brack, published by Faber and Faber Limited, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine. Gift subscriptions are available at poetryfoundation.org. And by the Sleep Number bed, the bed that allows personal comfort at the touch of a button. Information at sleepnumber.com. Produced by Ella Shovanek and Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
WNYC is supported by Metropolitan Museum Concerts. Violinist Janine Janssen performs Bach's Partita No. 2, Inventions and Other Bach Chamber Works, March 8th at 8 p.m. 212-570-3949 or metmuseum.org/tickets. Edward Kennedy Ellington spent a lot of time in New York City, grew up in Washington, D.C., came here in the 20s, and like me, he was struck by New York. Well, he was able to put, you know, that into a composition, and Ellington spent a lot of time in Harlem, and he talked about playing music in Harlem on Saturday nights and music happening all through the night into Sunday morning, and Sunday morning he would walk around Harlem and you would hear various music come out of various churches, and all of these different ethnic groups had all of this different music going on. And he wrote a tone poem to Harlem, and we're about to hear that. This is your New York Philharmonic and Wynton Marsalis. Now, after this, we're going to hear a composition by John Adams, his violin concerto. John Adams, Wynton Marsalis, John Adams and Duke Ellington used the same interval to begin the piece. You'll hear Wynton play it on trumpet. It's a minor third. Ba-dum. And the first two notes that you'll hear Robert McDuffie play in the John Adams tune. Ba-dum. John Adams grew up hearing Duke Ellington. His father had a kind of a juke joint, and Duke Ellington was one of the performers that came through. Now, Adams says it wasn't conscious that he used the same interval. And if you go to our website, you can hear me talking to John Adams and Midori about various things, including John Adams' violin concerto. That's at our website. But let's go to this Duke Ellington tune now. This is the tone parallel to Harlem.
Thank you.
Your New York Philharmonic, Kurt Mazur conducting, Wynton Marsalis playing trumpet. They recorded that in April 1999. You're listening to WNYC 93.9 FM and WNYC.org. I'm Terrence McKnight. This is Evening Music. I'm here. This is day one, and I've been ready for this, and I'm glad that you have joined us, and I'll be here with you Monday through Thursday. And David Garland's here with you. Friday, Saturday. It's Friday at 7 o'clock, Saturday, 8 o'clock, Sunday at 8 o'clock as well. Now, remember that motive. Bottom. Remember that third in Ellington's piece? You're going to hear that coming up in the John Adams composition as well. WNYC is supported by Rutgers University Division of Continuous Education and Outreach, offering thousands of courses for career advancement and professional development with programs on campus, off campus, and online. More at mycareer.rutgers.edu.
WNYC is giving away a limited number of tickets to see Lee Sarr, The Company, and Netta Yerushalmi as part of the 92nd Street Y Harkness Dance Festival, Thursday at 8 at Ailey City Group Theater. Enter to win. Click on free stuff at WNYC.org.
WNYC is supported by Jazz at Lincoln Center, presenting Jamaican pianist Monty Alexander and his ensemble, bringing Caribbean vibrations to the stage, March 7th and 8th, 7:30 and 9:30 in the Allen Room. Tickets at 212-721-6500 or jalc.org. We are at wnyc.org. Go there, send email, blog. Tell me about you, what kind of music you enjoy. Tell me what you're thinking of the programming this evening. Again, I'm Terrence McKnight. It's my first day on the job, and I'll be here with you through Thursday. And again, David Garland will be here with you Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's go on to John Adams. John Adams, violin concerto. This is Robert McDuffie, who is from Macon, Georgia. And you know, I just came from Atlanta, Georgia. And Bobby McDuffie he's big internationally and, of course, at home. Well, he made this recording with the Houston Symphony. And this is the Violin Concerto in Three Movements by John Adams. John Adams talks a bit about this concerto on our website. He and I were in conversation in Atlanta with violinist Midori talking about this composition. And when you get a chance, go and check out that video. Here it is. This is Houston Symphony, Bobby McDuffie, playing music by John Adams.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Christoph Eschenbach conducting the Houston Symphony Orchestra. That's music by John Adams featuring Robert McDuffie playing violin. And this is evening music on WNYC 93.9 New York and WNYC.org. I'm Terrence McKnight. And that John Adams tune began with that minor third, bottom, same minor third we heard in Duke Ellington's tune. And then later on we heard a bass line that's familiar from Paco Bell's Canon. Boom, boom. Oh, there it is right there. Yeah, John Adams quotes this bass line in his violin concerto. It takes it out of rhythm. And we're celebrating music here and the human experience through music here on WNYC. I'm Terrence McKnight, and we get support from the international law firm of Mayer Brown with 21 offices and 1,800 lawyers around the world. Mayer Brown serves clients who need a significant presence in the key business centers of the Americas, Europe, and Asia. We also get support from The Big Read, a month of book-centered events honoring Zora Neale Hurston's novel, Their Eyes Were Watching God, hosted by African Voices, Brooklyn Public Library, and more. Details at africanvoices.org. We've got a ticket giveaway coming up, so I hope you'll stay with us for that as well.
New Orleans is old and historic, and so is its water system. It leaks millions of gallons a day.
To me personally, all the pipes in the city of New Orleans need to be changed. But the government not going to give them the money to do that. Every street needs new pipes. It's going to be a hard job to take care of.
I'm Renee Montaigne, plugging leaks in New Orleans, tomorrow on Morning Edition from NPR News.
That's tomorrow morning on 93.9 FM and AM 820 WNYC.
What you're listening to is the Los Angeles Guitar Quartet. They were asked by their record company to record Paco Bell's Canon, and they thought, you know what, it's been done so much, we don't really want to record that unless we can kind of fiddle with it. So here they are, the four members of the LAGQ. They're taking Paco Bell's Canon through various phases of, I think, American music. You'll hear different styles of American music. And coming up next, we'll hear from a composer who was really influential in teaching American composers how to write American music. Antonin Dvorak's coming up after this music by Paco Bell a la, or Paco Bell via the LAGQ. Thank you. The Los Angeles Guitar Quartet calls that Loose Cannon, and you heard it on 93.9 WNYC. We're online at WNYC.org. I'm Terrence McKnight.